Hi, this is Mary Lou from Atlanta, Georgia, and you're listening to Concert Blast.
Hello, this is Donna from Douglasville, Georgia, and you're listening to Concert Blast.
Hello, this is Crazy Al from Crazy Algae, and you are listening to my favorite podcast, Concert Blast.
Hello, this is Stacy from Atlanta, and you are listening to my favorite podcast, ConcertBlast.com.
Hello, this is Jennifer from Douglasville, and you are listening to my favorite podcast, ConcertBlast.com.
Hello, this is Derek St. Holmes. You're listening to my friends Mike, Brian, and Tom on ConcertBlast.com.
Blast. This is Mike Arnold along with
Tom Thompson.
Brian Hasbrook.
Hello, guys.
Hey, man.
You ain't gonna believe where we are. We've been trying to set this up for a long time, and we finally done it. We're at Crazy Al's in Douglasville, Georgia, and we are talking to the world-famous
Derek St. Holmes.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
How you guys doing, man?
We're doing wonderful.
Great. Cool. Yeah, cool. I'll tell you what, Derek, you are one of the first persons we wanted to interview on our show.
Really?
Yes. We've been a fan since the first time we saw you.
Wow.
With Ted Nugent back in, when was that?
74? Four?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
74, like,
yeah. Well, I'm flattered. I am flattered. Thank you so much.
They were lucky enough to be right up front for Double Live Guns, though.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right about.
Those
if you ever
days.
Listen to our podcast, you'll hear us talk about you a lot.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I will start to do that.
Yeah. One of our favorite stories is we had surprises at concerts is when there was Ted Nugent threw a towel in the crowd, and two guys got a hold of it and ended up in a bloody fist fight.
That's
you
right.
Came to the edge of the stage, and you just sit there and shook your head like, you're idiots.
Yeah.
You're idiots. And that's one of our favorite stories to remember. And it was right beside us. That was
really? That's
yeah.
funny.
You can have a towel, you know?
Oh, yeah. Those were wild times. There's no doubt about it.
That's fun.
That is exactly right.
So we're here at Crazy Al's, and you're going to perform tonight later.
I am.
All right. Now, what do we expect to hear from you?
I'll do some Ted Nugent stuff, and I'll do a lot of Derek St. Holmes stuff, and I do a lot of cover stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I do some Van Morrison. I do some Creedence.
Will you do some of this stuff for us?
I will do that. Probably almost that whole
CD. Oh,
good.
All right.
Let me tell you.
There's only a couple on there I won't do tonight.
You better do. You ready for this?
Don't say it because I'm not. I can tell you right now I'm not doing it. What is it?
Sometimes.
No, I don't know if I'll do sometimes.
Oh, we love it.
Oh, man.
Now,
we sang it all the way down here.
Did you really?
Now, for the listeners, we're talking about Derek St. Holmes' CD called Then and Now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's
and
right.
You can get this where, Derek?
You can get that at my website. That's www.derekstholmes.com.
Yeah,
or just
exactly.
Put in Derek St. Holmes. It'll pop up.
How about Sunsets?
Yeah, that's one I was going to tell you. We don't really do too much.
Uh-huh.
And it was a big joke just now when she just brought this card up and put it in front of me as a cue card because I recorded Sunsets out in California live just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
For a TV show that they're trying to film on unsung heroes like myself. So
yes.
I didn't know any of the lyrics, and she wrote them this big and put them out, and it was a joke because I had to sing it, so I sang it, and thank goodness it was mainly for audio and not for visual, because I was just looking at the cue cards reading it. But, yeah, a lot of people like that song.
I love it. It's written about me, actually.
It's very is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's my past.
Yeah.
Huh?
Bring back memories.
Don't ask me. Don't ask me, okay?
You know who you are.
That's right.
I might confess a little bit, but don't be talking about it. That's what I love so much about it.
That's my Nashville song right there.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're from.
Oh, I like it. That's a nice town, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the guys in your band now.
The guys in my band, the bass player and I have been together almost 20 years.
Wow. His name is?
Chase Chitty. And he sings and plays. He used to play with Pat Travers.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
And then my drummer is Kevin Pinson, and he's been around Atlanta forever, and he's got a drum company, and he builds drums for 11 called the Bearing Edge.
Wow, cool.
And he's actually playing one of his sets tonight, and but that's mainly what he does. And he used to tour and play a lot in the old days in a lot of touring bar bands. And if anybody plays, you know how back then that was a tough job, because they didn't have limos, they didn't have a crowd that was built in and come to see them. They had to play five sets a night, almost every night.
Wow.
And just keep it going. So he has got a lot of chops. He's on top of it. So that's a lot of fun playing with him. And we've been playing together for, off and on, I guess, 4 or 5 years, I guess, something like that.
All right.
Wow. Cool.
So,
Checking up on your bio and what you've been doing here in Atlanta, we noticed you have done a lot of charity work, especially after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You had things going on with Tommy Shaw and Mark Farner and such. How did all that come about?
That actually came about when I was working with a band called Big People, which had Pat Travers and Ben Orr. Billy Joel's drummer,
Liberty
DeVito, and 38 Special's guitar player, songwriter, Jeff Carlisi. So when we had that band together, we were managed by the same management as Styx. So when that thing came about, they called us up and said, hey, would you guys go and do a free concert in New York and Cleveland to help raise money? So we said, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, we do any of that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
It's a great thing.
I also noticed that you do a lot of, I guess, for motorcycle conventions and for benefits for motorcycles.
Yeah, well, we're big into Harleys.
You have a Harley?
I do.
All right.
I do. I happen to have a 98 Fat Boy, and my wife has a 2002 Sportster. So she actually had her bike first, and I couldn't let her one up me, so I had to get one.
All right.
But that's had motorcycles all my life. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you know, there's a lot of charity work in conjunction with riding, and that's a lot of fun, too. So we do a lot of that.
Do you have a whole lot of interest other than the motorcycle thing, outside of music? Is there anything besides bike riding?
When I grow up, I'm going to be a cowboy.
There you go.
But, no, I have horses, and I train horses. As people like to use the word, a horse whisperer.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, my dad taught me that stuff a long time ago. We're part Cherokee and part Spanish and part English. So the Spanish Cherokee part, I guess, taught me how to train horses. And so, yeah, I do a lot of that. And I've been around horses ever since I was 11. And I just turned, 22 now, so.
Oops.
Got a long way to go.
7 years, man.
Oops.
That's right.
So, February 24th, I'll be 53. I can't believe it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
If I'd have known I was going to be around this long, I'd have partied harder.
That's right.
Because you know what everybody else says.
You did try pretty good.
Well, I did, yeah.
That's right.
And I won.
There you go.
But you're still here, so I guess you did.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm in good shape.
Well, speaking of here, what brought you to the Atlanta area?
Probably the drummer, Cliff Davies. We had 2 days off in 1975. And he said, Derek, I'm moving to Atlanta. And if you and Rob are smart, you'll come with me, because there's no reason to sit up here in Detroit in this nasty cold weather.
I can see that. Wow.
And it took me about 15 minutes to figure that one out. And I went, yeah, okay, I'm going too. So we just moved in 2 days, dropped all our stuff off, and the next day I went back out on tour. So we didn't even get back home and probably for another month. But that's how I got here. And But I was always interested in coming down to Atlanta because I was a big Allman Brothers fan.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, you know, we got that Allman Brothers Live album, and we learned everything on it. And I just always wanted to see what is going on down there that makes those guys play like that.
Sure.
So here I am, and I think I figured out what makes them play like that, and I enjoy that. And I've kind of captured some of that in myself. A lot of my friends up in Detroit always go, Derek, sometimes it feels like you've lost your really hard edge. And I don't think I've lost my hard edge. I just think I'm incorporating a little bit more R&B into it, which I grew up with in Motown. So, but yeah, we add a little Southern flavor to it, and I just love it down here. Now, are you gentlemen Southerners from the South? Where are you from?
Cleveland originally.
From Ohio, yeah, that's cool. Yep. But you live in Nashville now.
Yeah, I lived in Nashville most of my life. But originally from Cleveland, still get up there all the time.
Yeah. So you wised up and you got out of
there. Yeah.
Are you from Nashville, born and raised?
Most of my life.
Okay.
Most of my life.
And you are a Nashville.
Because I was going to ask, how does a nice boy like yourself end up in the South?
Yeah.
That's right.
We're smart, that's why.
And most guys who come down from the North, they love the South.
Well, here's my greatest compliment. I always say this. I say, if the war breaks out again, I believe I'm fighting for the South.
There you go.
Yeah.
Woo, I heard that.
As Charlie Daniel says, save your Confederate money because the South's going to do it again.
That's right, baby.
I didn't realize they didn't do it the first time, though.
Well,
I'm from Detroit.
Okay.
Born and raised in Detroit. And I grew up on soul music and Motown music, and I grew up on Chuck Berry and the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, B.B. King. My dad used to buy me all those records.
Those are your musical influences.
Singing-wise, I'd say anywhere from John Lennon and Paul McCartney to Mick Jagger, to Chuck Berry, to Marvin Gaye, to Aretha Franklin.
Wow.
Oh.
You know, it's a wide span. When I was growing up and listening to music, it was top 40 radio.
Yeah.
So did you find yourself...
I had to sing it all.
Yeah. So did you find your personal music is kind of segueing more back into what you originally grew up on?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I like to write radio-friendly songs, you know. I mean, to me, it's about writing songs that can be played on the radio so people can enjoy them.
And do you write primarily for yourself? Do you write for others, depending on how it fits?
I write for others. I do it all. I do it all. I've been writing a lot with a guy. I write a lot with Jeff Carlisi from 38 Special.
Oh, yeah. We just saw him recently with Deep South.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I write a lot with Paul Reed Smith, the guy that has the guitar company.
Oh, okay.
And I write a lot with a songwriting partner I have out in Tucson, Arizona, who helped co-write all these songs here and the next album coming up, Jim Cornut.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know anything about him. What's
Jim Cornut is a poet turned lyricist turned slash songwriter, but he used to be Ted Nugent's road manager, and before that he was Aerosmith's road manager, and before that he was the New York Dolls road manager.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So back.
Oh, yeah. And this guy is probably, he must be 78. Almost, 78, 79. But it's as if he's 20, you know?
Wow. There was a big guy that was like your stage manager or something at the time. John Kronk, I think.
John Conk.
Yeah.
Big guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, King Kukarakis, yeah.
Every time y'all came around and I saw that big guy walking across the stage, it was like, he's back.
Yeah, and he's still around. He's still doing it. So he's rocking, yeah.
Wow.
Well, you said you've got another CD coming out. When can we expect it?
Oh, Lord. I'm hoping after March, because I'm doing a couple different projects with a couple different people, and I've got right in the middle of an album with Paul Reed Smith band, and I'm right in the middle of my album, so I had to put my album on hold because he wants to finish his by the end of February, so we got to get awful busy. But
yep.
And we do a lot of touring out of the country with that because we do a lot of the NAMM shows, and that's kind of all new for me to be his singer and play in his band. It's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah,
I bet
and
it
I've
is.
I've known him ever since he was like 18 years old.
Oh, man.
Paul Reed Smith gave me the second guitar he ever built, and it was Stamp number 2.
Oh.
And like a dummy, when I had like 38 guitars, I'm thinking, well, I don't need all these things. I think I'll sell a couple. I sold that one for $150.
Oh, my gosh.
It's probably worth $40,000, $45,000.
Yeah, you're kicking yourself now, aren't you?
Thank God he got it back.
Wow.
I noticed Ron Bloom wrote a song on here with you.
Yes.
Tell me about y'all's relationship. You know, he's really big into podcasting.
Really?
Oh, he's real like big. One of the
yeah,
the
he does a lot of work with Adam Curry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yes. Yeah. He's really big. And I had heard an interview that of him in one of the podcasts. And he mentioned you, how you used to play with him.
Yeah. Now, I have not heard from him forever.
He's in San Francisco.
He's in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And he's doing what?
He is the, I don't know if he's the CEO.
I'm sure he's the CEO. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Of the Pod Show.
The Pod
Network,
Show.
Network, which is, they have a lot of podcasts under their belt and a lot of pod-safe music.
Wow.
And, yeah, you'll have to get on podshow.com and
yeah.
just check him out.
Well, I love him. You know, he's from here. He's from Atlanta.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And he used to be in a band called Brother Bait, and they played around forever, and they were really good. And he and I met here. I guess he started to date my wife, and then we got a divorce. And
wow.
then... Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, really? What happened?
And then about 6 months later, he calls me up and he goes, Derek, you're not mad at me or anything.
Yeah.
And and I said, no. He said, I finally see what you were saying. So we started to become the best of friends. And so we have written a lot of songs together. And he moved out to California and had a studio out in Burbank for a while with Chuck Norris's wife. And they had a nice little deal going on out there. So we wrote a lot of songs and great songs. And we still have many more songs that should probably come out. But, I wish he would contact me. I'd like to talk to him about it.
Well, he will now.
He will now.
After he hears this, he will.
Yeah, because he's an amazing songwriter. He's an amazing guitar player. And he doesn't sing as well as I do.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Who does?
but he knows
exactly.
That. But I love him. He's a great guy. We had a lot of fun together.
Give us a typical week that Derek St. Holmes does.
Typical week, okay. I do a lot of kids stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I have a 14-year-old daughter. She is special needs, so I do a lot with her because she is mentally maybe 5 or 6. So it's something I do a lot with, and I'm real involved with her. So I make sure she gets out when we get her to school and do all that kind of stuff. She's a big horse rider. That's when she feels like she's on the top of the heap when she's on horses.
Yeah, that's great.
And most of the time, you know, she's intellectually not up with her other classmates. And so when she's on horses, it's great, and I love it. So I do a lot with my daughter, Nina. I have an 18-year-old son who I have to keep prodding.
Christian?
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keeping him straight, right?
Oh, yeah. Because he thinks he's, you know, got the wisdom of a 50-year-old. And I have another daughter, Keely, who's married, and she's going to have a baby.
Oh, grandfather.
Yeah.
Grandpa Derek.
I can't believe it.
Wow.
That's exciting. Lately, I've been doing a lot of rehearsing, which I don't do much. I've been rehearsing a lot, and mainly the Paul Reed Smith Band, getting ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of rehearsing during the day, and I do all the cooking and, well, not all the cooking, but I do all the...
Better watch that.
He does all the cooking and cleaning.
No, wait, let me... Oh, whoa, we got to back up on that. Yeah. Back that way up.
Take two?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Edit that.
No. Yeah.
I do all the dishes and laundry. Thank
you. There you go.
All right. There you go.
Hey, Derek, explain this picture I got off your website.
All right. This is probably 75.
Yeah.
All right. Let's explain a little bit. It's the famous dressing room picture. I remember seeing this in other magazines.
This was also the inside cover of what, Free For All?
Is that working?
Yeah,
okay,
on the sleeve.
So. Yes.
And it was just real sort of, now it's kind of rare, you know, to find one, it's very rare. But yeah, it was on the inside sleeve of, I believe, Free For All. And we weren't really getting along that well then.
Well, yeah, propped all that for us. I mean,
you know, it was Ted Nugent, Ted Nugent, Ted Nugent, Ted Nugent, but he couldn't do anything he was doing. without
Derek St. Holmes.
Rob Grange, right. Derek St. Holmes, and Cliff Davies.
Yeah. That's right.
And, you know, it's funny because we just got together, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Rob and Cliff and I, and we had a chance to play for a couple hours, and then we played a live show. Mm. And I swear, it was as if we were right back. We didn't even skip a beat.
Wow. You know, where was that?
We did a live show out in Fresno, California for Hammock Productions. And
oh, that's that TV show?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he flew my band out and Cliff and Rob, and we invited Ted, but Ted was probably too busy.
Hunting,
killing something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And that's okay because, but we have a big old interview that's going to come out. And the interview even says all three of us say that, you know, had Ted been in the room next to us and known that we were in the rehearsal room, he'd have been in there like that. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, he's moved around a lot by his management and he second guesses a lot of things that he ought to do. But the best band he's ever had is Cliff, Rob, and Derek, and Ted.
There's no doubt about that.
No doubt,
there's
yes.
no question.
That's
yes.
one thing we were saying.
He doesn't wake up every morning and know that himself, which I'm sure he does.
I guarantee he does.
How did y'all meet?
I met Ted I had a band in Detroit called Scott, and we were a three-piece band playing rock and roll, all my own music that I was writing, and we would open up shows for him. So every time he'd see me play, mainly the drummer and the bass player would always go, Ted, man, you got to get him. That's the guy we ought to get. And Ted never sang. He never sang. And when I got in the band, he first album came out, and I sang, what, 9 of the 10 songs or something like that?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he started to see how much notoriety I was getting. She said, shoot, I got to start singing. I got to start singing.
Oh.
That's when Cat Scratch Fever started to come about. And I mean, I really should have sang all those songs as well, but that's the way that went.
Why didn't you sing all the non-Ted Nugent vocal songs on Free For All? I mean, they brought in Meatloaf, right?
Yeah, because I got in a big old argument with his producer. The producer was kind of changing the sound of the band a little bit too commercial for me, anyway. And he was telling me how to sing every little line. And so we got in an argument, and they fired me. So I left the band, and they got Meatloaf to sing everything. So I said, okay, and I went home. About 2 weeks went by, and they hired me back because Meatloaf wasn't working out for the record company. They did not like his voice and didn't care for any of that. Said, you got to get the real singer back. Get him back. So it was good. When I came back, I had a better money deal, and everything was better.
Wow. So it was better
It was better all around.
Derek, tell us what advice you would give a new artist who's about to sign on a record deal and take on a new tour.
Number one, make sure you got a good lawyer that is working for you and not the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And be prepared to give it all you got on those on the album that you're putting out. You know, you're going to sing it a million times over and over and over, so you better love it. And you better, you know, love the guys around you. And remember one thing, every day it could completely go away.
Yes.
It could blow up any second. So, but my biggest piece of advice, I know that if they were sitting in front of me, I'd say, I know you guys are artists and I know you guys are excited about your craft, but remember one thing, you've just stepped into the business world.
Yes.
And what you guys have created now is not just art, but it's a product. And you better realize that these people are going to sell this product. Those illusions of, you know, being a artsy rock and roll songwriting band stuff, it stops the minute the machine takes over. So, you know, just be prepared for it. That's all.
That's great advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That'll be $50.
That's right.
Up front.
Like you said, the checks to where, Derek.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
When our lawyer and CPA comes in tonight, they will talk to you about this.
That's right.
Well, I learned it the hard way, and it's, those things ought to be, and I'm sure they are taught in many music schools now.
What's the most exciting thing craziest thing that you ever seen in the crowd that ever happened while you were touring?
Performing live.
We played Dallas, Texas, and the fire marshal shut the show down because people were shooting off firecrackers and stuff like that. So when we left the stage, you know, somebody, the fire marshal said, no, we're not going to have these guys return to the stage until things settle down. Well, they got so wild, they started ripping the seats up out of the auditorium, throwing them into a pile at least 7 feet tall, setting them on fire inside the building. Three different piles in the aisles.
And so from the stage, you saw these big bonfires?
Huge bonfires out in the middle of a, you know, any one of those inside auditoriums. It's just frightening, but it was wild, man.
Was that during the Gonzo tour?
Yes.
Because I can remember at the end of the album, you could hear firecrackers going off.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that was part of it, probably?
Yeah, it was part of it.
Wow. Now we know.
Yeah. San Antonio. San Antonio.
Yes.
What was it like playing California Jam?
Awesome. It was a sea of people. That was 350,000 people.
All right.
At that time, that was one of the biggest concerts and biggest crowds anybody had ever played.
Right.
So I was glad to be a part of it. That was awesome.
Yeah. So are you more at ease, or do you prefer a smaller crowd, or do you like large crowds?
I prefer any kind of crowd that people are there to have fun.
There you go.
That's all.
Absolutely.
There you go.
It doesn't matter how big or how small. I find smaller audiences a lot tougher. I mean, it's a lot tougher for me, like doing this little place tonight. But one thing that is fun about it, a lot of these people are just here to see me. So that's
right.
Fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And makes it nice.
Sometimes you can feel like the Beatles when you get done, you know, people going crazy. So that's a lot of fun.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, 300,000 or three, it doesn't matter.
To close up our interview tonight, we just want to ask you, what are you most thankful for?
Well, that's a loaded question. There's a lot of things I'm thankful for. Too many to mention, but one of the things I'm thankful for is that I've got a God-given talent.
That's true.
That always helps.
There's no doubt about it.
And without that, I wouldn't have been able to do anything, and I'm most thankful.
I'm glad you said it was a God-given talent instead of a self-talent.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean,
I
never practiced. I never rehearsed. I never had a lesson for singing. My mom sang in the church, and I listened all my life, and I just had it. So, I see a lot of singers, and I won't even name names, but they warm up before they go out singing all these scales and doing all this stuff. And that's awesome. I probably ought to do that as well, but I don't, and I never have had to. But so I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful for just being alive.
There you go.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I had good parents, man. They taught me not to get too crazy.
Oh, that's great.
So
that's great. So you're the parent now, just teaching your children.
Yeah, that's wacky. People used to go, man, where'd you go? And I said, well, I spent a lot of time raising my kids, and I was there for almost everything. So I don't miss the rock and roll that I left to raise my children. So, and I got a 23-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 14-year-old.
I notice you're wearing a cross. Is that symbolism of something, or is that just jewelry?
God. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, what? But you do have a belief there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Hey, he works in mysterious ways. No, he does. And, I have witnessed many miracles in my 53 years. So, anybody that doesn't believe, God bless them. I hope they figure it out one day.
We were coming down across Mont Eagle. Tom was saying, look at the clouds. And now, it looks like spotlights coming down from heaven onto the mountains. And it was just light snow all over everything. It was so beautiful. And Tom said, how can anybody not believe in God but looking at that right there?
Absolutely, yeah. He was just kind of guiding you guys down here to me.
Derek, we've been trying to meet with you for a long time. And
I know. I'm sorry it's taken so long, but I'm glad we finally had a chance to get it together.
Yeah. It was well worth the trip.
Well, we definitely thank you for your time and the invitation.
Thank you for coming down. Thank you so much. This has been a lot.
We're just overly excited to see your show.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have fun.
Well, this is Mike signing off.
And Brian.
And Tom.
And
Derek St. Holmes. And come see me.
There you go.
All right.
Down in Atlanta,
thank you.
Georgia.
Thank you. Jeff Carlisi and I.
Yeah.
Every time Carlisi calls me, he goes, you never call me no more.
That's good.
It's back and forth. It's so fun.
Well,
no doubt.
Right. Thank you. See you next time. God bless you.
Woo! Doggies.
All right.
I want to thank you for letting me be myself again.